Welcome to Speak Up with Rita Burke and Elton Brown.
It is with great joy that I introduce a woman that I've known for quite a long time, Yvonne Osundu. Now, Yvonne is a parent of two lovely darlings, she said, 30 and 26. She works as a massage therapist and a Zen Shiatsu practitioner. She also volunteers with two organizations, the Ryerson Midwifery Education Program. She's on the board of directors for her housing co-op. Yvonne tells me that she's always studying. Privately, she's either meditating or doing yoga. For both seem to be useful for better overall functioning. Her latest fascination is making products from the bounty of her friend's garden. She's been making body butter, massage oil, and deodorants. I want to share a quote that Yvonne gave to us. It says, "I must create a system or be enslaved by another man's system." And wow. I'm going to ask Yvonne to talk a little bit about that quotation and what it really means for you.
Yeah, that quote really means a lot to me, because we're not born with all the knowledge that we need to become who we are. And so we're either going to be absorbing what our parents are going to pass on to us, or we're going to be adapting for the culture that we live in. Either one of those doesn't necessarily mean they're good for us or right for us, but that's what we have. And I think eventually as adults, we try to create the system that really and truly work for us, so that we're not duplicating or repeating or just following the system that's been either departed to us or imposed on us. So for me, it's a way of always checking in to see, does this really work for me? And if it doesn't, how can it? And if it can't, what else can I create to make my life functional?
Sounds very exciting. I like that. It's deep. It's worth thinking about. Really appreciate that. What do you find rewarding about your profession, about what you do?
I feel very fortunate to have this whole notion of creating a system or be enslaved by another. I'm so fortunate that I work for myself. It's my thing. I can work 10 days in a row, or work 5 days in a row, or work 2 days. It's my own. It's my own creation. It's when I get up in the morning, I don't have to run to work in a job that is something I'm doing to get by. I'm doing what I love. So it doesn't actually feel like work. I know that's a cliche, but it actually feels like I'm fulfilling more of a destiny than an obligation to work and make a paycheck. And because I love it, I bring love to it. So it really feels like something of my personhood is unfolding rather than I'm laboring.
How many individuals do you see in a week? How large is your client base? Maybe
I see in a week, I try not to do more than 20 people, I try not to see more than 20 people in a week. It feels, if I do all the things I need to do in order to be in this profession, taking care of my body, making sure I'm resting, making sure I'm eating my foods, making sure that I'm in the right company, making sure I have lots of alone time to regenerate my mind. If I do those things, 20 people is really, really, I can service 20 people very well. I try not to go beyond that because then it's a bit too much. And my client base, it's extensive. I'm very happy and fortunate to say it's extensive. Yeah.
Wow. I have to go back to your quote. I just find it to be remarkable. And I know that Mr. Blake was a poet, he was a painter, he was a printmaker, he was all of these things.
Yeah.
And I really went out, just went for it, no holds barred. And I wonder, how do you take all of that and apply it to your client base?
That's a good question. The notion of not being enslaved by another man's, that's so profound, in that personally not being enslaved, but also not enslaving others. So with my client base, I give people a lot of space to be who they are. I'm not imposing any idea of what it feels to be in their body. I allow them to bring that information to me. And I don't ever assume that when I saw them last week, how they were feeling then is how they're going to feel this week. So every opportunity that we meet is, it's a fresh and new day. Keeping some things in mind, of course, but not being so stuck in what was that I can't see what is right now, because you're not the same person you were yesterday. Even if someone comes in with pain in their back and they are still having pain today, it's not the same pain. And how they are dealing with it and feeling about it isn't the same. So I can't assume that, oh, because they had back pain last week and we did this and this to help it, and it's still there, doesn't mean that we're going to do the exact same thing. For a couple of reasons, something would have changed over the last time we would have seen each other. And that have to be taken into consideration in order for them to express to me what it feels like to be in there.
You said something that was quite interesting just a few seconds ago, how the pain that one had one day is different the other day. And so that means to me, that means that there is an array of tools that have to be used in order to harness this pain. So outside of the physical accoutrement that you can use, are there any spiritual tools that you use to enforce your positive actions to your client base?
Wow. Oh my gosh, that's such an interesting question. And I'll tell you why. Massage therapy, well, massage therapy as it's practiced here in the West, is very Western medicine, very science, quote unquote, science-based, heading more towards evidence-based. Perfectly fine. In my toolbox, grateful to have learned a little bit of Eastern medicine, some Chinese medicine, Japanese, Ayurvedic medicine. And their belief of what ails us is not just what happened to us to cause us pain, such as I fell or I picked up something that was too heavy for me, so I strained my back. There's a space in the spectrum of health across different cultural peoples that pain can be caused by something more than that. As an example, from what they call spiritual illness of emotion, such as, say, anger, or rage, or sadness, or depression. And so they made a space for addressing those kinds of pains. Now, the knowledge and expertise that one would develop to get there is quite extensive. It's more than going to a 2-year, degree granting institution. It comes from having some degree of spiritual practice to have an understanding of what these different emotions are that can cause someone physical discomfort. And so to understand those and then to be able to apply them is part of what I think is in the, it's something I think is possible for a body worker. It's not something that I can say that I am an expert on at the moment, but it's certainly something that I keep in mind when I put my hands in somebody's body or I ask them questions about their pain. Now, I have to qualify that by saying that's not scientific. You can't really test that. But some of these practices were taking place long before the idea of a scientific method was created. So I don't know that they would stand up to the test of science, but I think science is doing its best to try to understand them.
Sounds so profound, Yvonne. Thank you so very much. It sounds to me as if you approach your practice, seeing the people who come to you, your clients, as holistic beings, and that is so profound.
Yeah.
In my introduction, we've known each other for a while.
Yes.
As I mentioned to you, you know that I'm a Toastmaster and Elton is a Toastmaster. I believe that I've invited you to some meetings.
Yeah.
Tell me about your view, your understanding, about this whole thing called Toastmasters.
Right. So you have indeed invited me a few times, and I am glad that I haven't taken you up on it yet, because I recognize that Toastmasters is not an easy thing. It's a very useful thing, but it's not an easy thing. And the reason why I said that is because I realized that, oh my goodness, talking publicly is very intimidating to me. I know that Toastmasters is available for young people. And if I was a young person, I would do Toastmasters because it's created for somebody young. But if you walk into Toastmasters as an adult, there's going to be an expectation that you can stand on your feet and open your mouth and talk to the public. And I would, to me, that's one of the most scariest thing possible. So in preparation to come to your Toastmasters, I'm taking a course that is for people who have tremendous fear of speaking in public. And he actually acknowledged my fear that, yeah, Toastmasters is what you do after you do that course. You don't want to start off with Toastmasters because it's a bit intimidating. You have to be willing to be okay with wetting your pants when you're put on in front of a microphone to speak at Toastmasters. And I'm not there.
I must say that I really admire your honesty and how candid you are about this. As a matter of fact, I believe this will be an off-the-record discussion about Toastmasters and coming prepared to speak. This will have to be an off-the-record discussion.
Yes.
Nevertheless.
Yes.
You've alluded to this in many of your responses, but there's a question that I need to ask you. And let's keep it as succinct as we possibly can.
Yeah.
What do you do when you are not working?
Oh my gosh, cleaning up my place. I'm finding meditation and yoga really useful right now. The other thing that I'm finding very useful right now, would you believe, is listening or reading Slave Narrative. I don't know why now. It feels like a religion to me right now to hear the experiences of the people that I'm from in the past. It's just like a balm to me right now. As difficult as it is to listen to.
So who are your favorite authors?
Right now, I'm listening to Booker T. Washington. There is something about his honesty that I find so refreshing from a 1921 point of view. And it's just, Booker T. Washington. That's what I'm going for right now. Maya Angelou was my favorite at one time, for sure. Mm-hmm. But right now, I'm just really enjoying
it. He definitely comes from a different perspective, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And he is very direct.
But my next author that I have to just welcome him back in my life is James Baldwin. I feel like he's very underrated.
I agree with you on that. And I can see why, in so many ways, why his work is, I'll say, suppressed because of the way that he frames things, the pictures that he creates as you're reading his information, his data, his stories. They are absolutely marvelous, and you do need to think about them after you've read them because you can take them in so many different ways, which I think, to me, makes them refreshing. I'm going to... Oh, one other thing I wanted to ask you. This is the time of year when individuals eat. We eat a lot. We just do. And so I want to know, what is your favorite dish this time of year? It doesn't have to be related to any holiday, but just because of the fact that we're entering winter, what is your favorite dish?
So this time of year, Rita introduced me to somebody years ago, shortly after I met her. And he, speaking about balm for the spirit, he was a balm for my spirit. And in fact, I spent some time with him when I was pregnant out in his farm. He raised chickens, and his chickens are the most superior, if you eat meat, that is, the most superior tasting thing I've ever experienced. And so this time of year is the time that I would take one of his chickens and make my very favorite Milton chicken with root vegetables from the harvest in the oven. It's easy, it's brilliant, and it's idiot-proof.
Now I'm salivating hearing that. I want to thank you so much for having this conversation with Rita and me. It really means a lot to the both of us. We find your conversation to be slightly different than the other topics that we've had conversations with other individuals that we have interviewed. So your podcast, I think our listeners will find refreshing. So I want to thank you and Rita as well. We want to thank you for your time and you imparting some of your thoughts. And by the way, I think that you are a excellent speaker, and I don't see you having to wait until you finish taking this class in order to visit.
Well, from your mouth to God's ear. And I think, Rita, I have an authority now that I can come to Ebony Toastmasters.
Yeah, you're more than welcome. We would welcome you with open arms. It certainly would be a joy.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Yvonne. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Speak Up. To discover upcoming podcasts, please go to www.toastmasters6060.com. Under News and Events, look for the District 60 newsletter to locate the schedule.